Christ died for your sins, rose again on the third day, and if you'll repent and trust in him, God will forgive your sins. At the moment, you're like a man on the edge of a plane, 10,000 feet up, and he's going to flap his arms to save himself. It's not going to work. He needs to trust the parachute. And at the moment, you say, I'm a good person, I'll be fine on judgment day. No, you won't. You're not good. You're like the rest of us. Trust in Jesus Christ alone. Transfer your trust from yourself to the Savior.
Salt is a preservative. It preserves things from spoil and decay. And light dispels darkness. And Jesus says that we are that city set on a hill. We are the light of the world. And God commands us to uphold justice, to be light in darkness, and to preserve the culture round about us from spoil and decay. It's actually a command of God that Christians not only preach the good news of salvation and redemption, but that Christians are the ones that stand as the salt and the light and the force to preserve justice in the world.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition to Solomon's Porch. My name is Josh Lucas, and I am just so humbled and honored to be able to do another episode here. And my hope and prayer for you is that you are encouraged by this episode, maybe even inspired by this episode, but that you are also challenged as well, as we're going to be talking about some pretty serious stuff and some cultural issues and things, and just things that are very important in our culture today, speaking about how it affects the church and where it could possibly be going, just all kinds of different things that we're going to be talking about today. So I hope that you like the episode. Make sure that you like and subscribe to the channel. Share the episode. Show it to your friends and family, church members, church leaders. I would love to have interaction, and let's get right into this today. So the overall discussion that I want to have today is in regard to Pride Month. So I did an episode of about a year, maybe even 2 years ago, regarding Pride Month, and it was basically our response to Pride Month. Like, how are we as Christians called to respond to Pride Month? And it was a very popular episode. It was actually, as of right now, as it stands, it still is our number one episode. So I want to encourage you that if you haven't listened to it yet, or if you're new to the channel, go and listen to it. It's available on the podcast page here. Back then, when we originally recorded it, I believe that we were still called The Gospel Truth. But now we are called Solomon's Porch. But it was a very great episode. I was very honored to be able to do it, and I hope that I did it well. But today I want to talk a little bit more about not just our response to Pride Month, but what exactly has happened to the church and to the culture as a whole as it pertains to Pride Month, because we are about 8 days out until the Pride Month festivities start in the United States, and even I'm assuming globally around the world. But not just do I want to talk about the Pride Month issues and homosexuality and stuff like that, but how it's affected the church and one church in particular. A lot of people have been talking about this. It has been very controversial, and as it should be, the United Methodist Church. The General Conference was a few weeks ago at the beginning of May, and it was basically a week long, essentially, not like 7 days, but you know, a week long through a week there through May. And they had an opening worship service. Then they had their general conference meetings. I mean, all kinds of long stuff to go through there. And the videos are very, very difficult to watch if you are a biblical Christian. I'm not talking about a Christian, because we can't really say that anymore. You have to be a biblical believing Christian. Practicing Christian. And what I mean by that is one that actually reads the entire Bible and believes in it. puts it into practice, does not take it as, oh, well, I'm not going to believe in that, or no, that's not what that was saying. Oh, that's not what God's word says. That's what Paul says. That's what Jeremiah said. That's what he said. None of that, because if Paul said it, God said it, right? Because that's how we believe in the inspiration of God's word, is that if it's in the Bible, it comes from God, plain and simple. And if you believe other than that, you don't believe in the Bible, okay? Then we got to get blunt with this. We got to get specific with this. And I'll tell you why. Because of what's going on in the United Methodist Church. So if you're unfamiliar with what's happening in the United Methodist Church, I'm just going to give a brief overview of what's happening here. I'm not in the United Methodist Church. I haven't been following it completely from the beginning of time, but I have good friends that are in the United Methodist Church, or at least were in the United Methodist Church. Now they're a part of the Global Methodist Church, which is now a denomination that broke off from the United Methodist Church because of the nonsense and the horrors that the United Methodist Church has now adopted. So I believe that I have good insight. And also, you can go online and you could watch their videos on the General Conference and hear what these lunatics are saying. And yes, I am going to call them lunatics, because that's exactly what they are. So I want to try to be as fair as I can, but if you disagree with this, if you are listening and you are a part of the United Methodist Church, and you want to correct me or you want to hold me accountable for something that I said that's out of line, please contact me and do so. I want to be as fair and as open as I can about this, but this is what's happened. So again, if you're not familiar with what's going on, the United Methodist Church had a ginormous, huge break in their denomination. There has been roughly 25% of congregations of the UMC, the United Methodist Church in the United States, which equates to 7,658 churches, are disaffiliating from the United Methodist Church and forming their own denomination. This was back in 2023, December 21st, 2023. My goodness. So who can even tell what's happened there? So at the time that I was speaking to one of my friends, it was at that time around 1,000. Now it's grown to 7,658 churches. That's what would we say here? About a quarter? Yeah, roughly a quarter of the UMC is gone. Now, some of you might say, oh, well, there's still 75% of those churches. But think about this for a second. How many of those churches had hundreds, if not thousands, of people within their churches? Let's just say that each one of those churches, those 7,658 churches, had 100 people inside of their church. They had 100 members. I'm not very good at math, but if my math serves me correctly, that would be somewhere in the 700,000 range. 765,800 people gone from the United Methodist Church. How crazy is that? Now, why is that taking place? Well, one of the major issues is their views on gay marriage. The United Methodist Church is now adopting a pro-gay marriage, pro-LGBTQ+ agenda. Also on religious practices, I don't know a lot about the religious practices stuff, so I'm not going to get into that, because every denomination is going through that, with respects, you know, with minor difficulties and all that stuff, probably not on the scale of the United Methodist Church. But the biggest thing that's going on is their stance on gay marriage and the LGBTQ+ movement, which comes with everything: gender, transgender, gay marriage, you know, the whole nine yards. That's what it comes down to. It's infiltrated the church. all over the place. I mean, every denomination is facing this right now. If they haven't already, you know, stuck a stake into it and have signed it into law, signed it into their confessions or whatever the case may be, every denomination right now is facing the issue of homosexuality within their churches and within their denomination. But the United Methodist Church has went the way of going, yep, come on in. We got to open our doors to everyone. We are welcoming everyone. We are accepting to everyone. Because not only do they say we welcome everyone, but we accept everyone. Because here's the thing, brothers and sisters, and even listeners, is that we welcome everyone that walks through that door. Everyone who walks into the door of our church, we welcome, or at least we should. Right? I don't think there's a whole lot of Christians that are sane that would say that we're not going to welcome these people. I know they exist. I'm not going to say that overall every single 100% Christian is going to agree with this, but I would say that every Bible-believing Christian that has a good sense of sanity, that has a good sense of theology and doctrine, would agree that we need to welcome everyone that comes into the door. Come in. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Let's all come together in worship, repent of our sins, and follow in the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we all need it. But the rub is that we do not accept everyone. Because here's the thing. Jesus does not accept everyone. He does not accept everyone. There's nowhere in Scripture where he says that. John 3:16 does not say that. That's not the context of John 3:16. That is not what Jesus was saying. Jesus called people to repentance. Jesus called people to not live in their sin. That is what Jesus did. Jesus did not say, I accept everyone. Come to me and live as you are. He said, come and die. He said, come, follow me. Deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, and follow me. That is the cost of following Jesus. It's chaos what's happening in the United Methodist Church. You don't believe me? Well, you know what? Let's get into this right here. So if you go online and you look at the United Methodist Church, their general conference from 2024, you look at all the general conferences that took place there, all of their sessions, all their things that happened. How did they get things started? Well, they got things started with what they called the opening worship service, about 2 hours of opening worship. They had songs, they had liturgy, they had prayers, they had speeches, they had all kinds of different things. Oh, and they also had a sermon delivered by one of their bishops, Thomas J. Bickerton. Thomas J. Bickerton. Maybe I pronounced that wrong. I'm sorry if I pronounced it wrong, but there's his name, Thomas J. Bickerton. And I have to say this. I have heard a lot of bad sermons in my day. And yes, this was a sermon. They said it right there on the conference. They said it right there on the video. Sermon given by Bishop Thomas J. Bickerton. But I've heard a lot of bad sermons in my day. This has to be one of the worst sermons I have ever heard in my entire life. One of the worst sermons I've ever heard. And that even comes with me having listened to sermons by Joel Osteen or Kenneth Copeland. Okay? This one has taken the cake. Bishop Thomas, you have taken the cake, my friend. Congratulations. Here is your award for the worst sermon ever given. It goes to this guy. Because why? Well, let's see here. he takes it on the road of, I'm going to give you a speech on what's been happening in the United Methodist Church, and I'm going to try to convince you that everything is fine, that we have lost 7,600 churches in the last year, 2 years maybe. We've lost a quarter of our churches. We've lost hundreds and thousands of people within our church. And we have lost a lot, if not most of our resources. His words specifically, we have lost a lot of resources. But everything is fine. Everything is fine. Because you know why? Because we are going to do it together. Because we are welcoming of all. We are going to reform the United Methodist Church. We are going to revive the United Methodist Church. And it's going to take a lot of work. Yeah, you don't say, Thomas. When 7,600 churches leave your denomination, that means that a lot of people have left. And you're going to have to start working hard. But here's some of the things that he's quoted on saying. First off, he says, don't you tell us that we don't believe in Scripture or the doctrine of the church or the resurrection of Jesus Christ or the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't you tell us that we don't believe in that. Bishop Thomas, I'm here to tell you, you don't believe in those things. You don't believe in those things because here's the thing about belief. It takes action. If you truly believe in Scripture, you truly believe in the doctrine of the church, you truly believe in the resurrection of Jesus, you truly believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, you would not be an acceptance of all church. You would not be this denomination that you are transforming into. You would not be able to sit up there and say that we have to reform our entire denomination because of what we have done in the past. It's just not the case. If you say that God is okay with gay marriage, that God is okay with homosexuality, that God is okay with transgenderism, that God is okay with men becoming women and women becoming men, you don't believe in Scripture. You don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't believe in the true God of the Bible. You believe in the God that you yourself have created. You have created a false God. And you want to know how I know this? Because God's judgment is upon your denomination, Bishop Thomas. He goes on to say, we are being connected together, and God is not done with this thing called the United Methodist Church. God is not done with this thing called the United Methodist Church. Well, Thomas, here's the thing, sir. God is not done with this denomination because his judgment is upon it. But pretty soon, I'm pretty sure, and this is not a threat, I'm telling you this to repent before it's too late. You will experience the full wrath of God in your denomination if you do not transform things back to Scripture. If you do not publicly repent of the things that you as the United Methodist Church have adopted, you will experience the wrath of God on Judgment Day. And maybe even before that, Thomas. You need to repent. The United Methodist Church needs to repent of the things that they have adopted. He goes on to explain, revitalization and reformation of the United Methodist Church. That's not revitalization and reformation, sir. You are talking about changing it to fit the agenda of people within your denomination that want it to be able to fit their personal lives. How they want to live, they want to live in homosexuality. They want to live to have sex outside of marriage. They want to live to party. They want to live in their sin. However they need to do it, that's how they're going to do it. And they have infiltrated the United Methodist Church, and the United Methodist Church has turned around and said, oh, yes, that sounds so good. Yes, you are so correct. This does sound like God because it's unifying. It's not unifying. It's destroying what God has created. And this was the thing that killed me. He explained that we as the United Methodist Church are able to join together in unity and love because we are people from different theological perspectives. Again, he's talking about how they have differences of theological points and worship and things of that sort. But here's the thing, Thomas. We can have our differences in perspectives and in worship a little bit, but we have to find unity in the essential doctrines of Scripture. If we cannot find those things, the Bible tells us to get away from those people. And that's what you guys have done. But you guys are taking it in the realm of going, oh, well, these people just want to continue to marginalize the homosexual community and marginalize these people. So therefore, we're going to take the higher road because that's what God would want us to do. No, the devil has blinded you. The devil has taken his fingers and has shoved them into your eyes and plucked them out and replaced them with his eyes and with his brain so that you can see and think the way he does. Because this is what he wants to do, Thomas. And I want you to hear this. And I hope and pray that you hear this, Thomas. And I mean this with all love and respect and passion here, Thomas. The devil wants to destroy God's church, and this is how he does it, by twisting people away from God's word. That is what you are a part of. You are encouraging it. You are feeding this thing. You are a bishop in the United Methodist Church. You are a leader that has been appointed by God to uphold Scripture, to uphold these laws of God, to uphold the standard of God, and you have not been doing that. And you will be held accountable, Thomas, and other bishops within the United Methodist Church that have adopted this and said, yes, we agree with this. You need to repent and turn to Jesus and turn back to Scripture before it is too late. But here's Now that's just a general overview of Bishop Thomas, his sermon that he gave. But now here's where I can see how this is infiltrated, and I couldn't even continue watching it. I had to shut it off. I tried, I really did, but I just couldn't take it anymore. I had to shut it off. I shut it off, and I literally said, "Are you guys kidding me? Is this really what's happening here?" I couldn't take it seriously. I really couldn't. But May 1st, 2024, the General Conference began. They had their meetings. They had meetings all day. But this meeting was another two-hour-long meeting, talking about all the different things that they have going on and changes that they want to make to pay and retirement and just all kinds of different things. It was honestly hard to keep track of everything that was going on. But here's where it started getting interesting. One of the first delegates gets called. This is him. My name is Thomas Lank. I am an adult white male. Scott Brewer. I'm a cisgendered white layman delegate. Now, granted, it was kind of hard to understand if he was taking this seriously or if he was making a jab at it. It seemed like he wasn't really taking it seriously. He was making a few jokes regarding that. So I don't know if he was serious or not, or what his deal was, but I'm just going to go ahead and say he said cisgendered white lay male delegate. Another lady, Anna. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm a white adult. Now, not every single delegate did this. Not every single delegate started using pronouns and ethnicity and all that. But here's the thing. This is what has happened with the LGBTQ plus movement. It has infiltrated the church so bad that now this is what it comes to. So it's not only just being preached on the pulpit, but in our denominational general conferences, it has been infiltrated. It's been poisoning the denomination to the point where now we have to explain it. Now we have to show, oh, look how welcoming we are. Look how beautiful and accepting we are. Look at our denomination. Oh, I use he, him pronouns. I use she, her pronouns. And I am a cisgendered white male. And I'm just a regular male. I'm a female. It's nonsense is what it is. And the thing that got me, I'm sorry if I'm getting too passionate with this or whatever, but it's nonsense. It's lunacy is what it is. Lunatics. Every single one of them said, I'm an adult male. I'm an adult female. I'm adult. I'm adult. I'm adult. You're not an adult. You're acting like a child is what you are. If you have to tell people that you are an adult, you're not an adult. Okay? You're not an adult. You're acting like an adolescent teenager. You're acting like that snot-nosed kid that's like, oh, look at me. I'm 18 years old. Oh, look at me. I can now vote. I can now do this. I can now do that. You're not an adult. And you're certainly not a Christian adult. But there was one other thing that happened. So let's get away from that for a second. Let's get away from the gender and the ethnicity for just a moment. There was a woman, well, I'm assuming she was, because she didn't say if she was a she, her, or a white female adult. I don't know. This could have been a kid for all we know. I mean, I don't know. Everybody else was explaining that they were an adult, but she did not, or they, it, I don't know. Well, Emily, let's say Emily. Emily stands up to the pulpit here. And yes, I am going to use their names because guess what? You did it publicly. So let's talk about it. So Emily, she talks about the discriminatory pay for male and female and minorities within the United Methodist Church. She gives this report about how that there's just so much discriminatory pay that's happening within the United Methodist Church among the pastors and the bishops and ministers and all these people within the United Methodist Church because between male and female and minority. But you know what was great about that report? She did not mention one time a report on who these ministers were, or who these pastors, let's call them pastors, who these pastors were, like meaning, what was their education? What was their experience? What was their church size that they were a part of? What was their income base as a church? Where were they at living in a state? Where were they at in the city? All these different things that affect the way that a church pays their minister. Everybody does it differently. The nice thing about some of these denominations, though, is that they have guidelines. But guess what? Newsflash for you people. Those guidelines come with stipulations. What are those stipulations? The stipulations are, well, how big is your congregation? Okay, if your congregation is this big, you should be able to afford this as your pastor. If you live in a rural area, here's this. If you live in an urban area, here's this. A metro area, here's this. States, here's this. Here's the thing, Emily, and everyone else who thinks about this. The discriminatory pay does not exist the way that you explain it. It does not exist. We as the American society and overall people as a whole have fundamentally adopted this great thing called capitalism. And the way that capitalism works is that however much money that is being brought in, you're going to get paid that. You're not going to get paid based off of your gender, your ethnicity, or any of that other nonsense. You are going to get paid for what you are worth. Well, how do we decide that? Well, we decide that on your education. We decide that on your experience. We decide that on how much money our company, our church, our entity, whatever the case may be, how much revenue does our thing make? That's what we're going to pay you. I have never in my entire life, 31 years of age, I have never seen any corporation, any church, any place ever that said, oh, well, Josh is a white male, therefore, he is going to make $65,000 a year. Oh, but Jennifer over here, she is a white female. Well, guess what? Since she is a female, she is only going to be making $60,000 a year because capitalism. That's not what capitalism is. It's solely based off of education, experience, and revenue. That's what makes capitalism great. You can't pay people what you don't have. You can't pay people that aren't worth it. And I know that opens up a huge can of worms, but that's why education is important. But you gotta be pretty smart when you think about your education. Okay? But anyway, so the rest of the conference, I finally had to turn it off because they were just talking about liberal agenda stuff. Everything that has stemmed from the LGBTQ plus community. All of it has stemmed from that. That's where we're at with all of this. Brothers and sisters, listeners, I came from the Methodist Church. Not necessarily the United Methodist Church, but I came from the Methodist Church. Which I'm assuming is all a big branch of it. Except for the Global Methodist Church, which has completely disbanded from the United Methodist Church. But I came from the Methodist Church. I'm no longer affiliated with it. I don't believe in their doctrine. I am truly Calvinist Reformed now. But I do love people from the Methodist Church. And I have a heart for them. But this is what happens, brothers and sisters and listeners. This is what happens when you adopt an agenda that contradicts the Bible. When you go against Christ, there's only one other option: chaos. When you go against the Bible, when you go against what Scripture clearly teaches, you get chaos. You get God's judgment. That's what's happening within the United Methodist Church. That is what's happening within the United States. Brothers and sisters, listeners, listen to this. The LGBTQ plus community gets an entire month of celebration where our veterans get essentially 2 days a year. This coming Monday, the 27th, May 27th, we're going to be celebrating Memorial Day. Memorial Day is when we actually recognize and remember the sacrifices that men and women have given for the freedom that we have for our country. They paid the ultimate price, but we only give them one day. And here's the thing. Do we even really give them that day? Do we even really take the time to recognize and remember those people? Veterans Day is another one. We take the time to recognize the veterans that are still with us and those that have passed on as well. But 2 days out of the year, we recognize them. But yet, LGBTQ plus community needs to have an entire month. And we're not just talking about a month of, you know, let's just, you know, celebrate the freedoms that came to pass, you know, gay marriage and all that. Not just simple stuff. Oh, no. We got to do drag shows that aren't just regular drag shows. They are, we're going to get nude in front of kids. We're going to dance in front of kids. We are going to march naked down the street where children and people can see us. We're going to celebrate this whole thing. It's chaos. It's absolute chaos. Because we have turned away from Jesus Christ and his word. So what is the solution? Repentance. It is repentance. Because here's the thing. Thomas, Bishop Thomas, delegates from the United Methodist Church that agree with this adoption and agree with this doctrine that has been passed in the United Methodist Church. Just because you are a Christian or you confess Jesus does not automatically mean that you are going to be accepted into heaven. Here's the harsh reality that we all have to face. Jesus explains in his word here, there's going to be two types of people that come before him on judgment day. Lord, 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 did I not cast out demons in your name? Did I not do all these good works in your name? To them, he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew you. Think about this for a second. There's going to be people that come before Jesus and say, Lord, 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 recognizing that Jesus is Lord. Did I not do all these things? Did I not preach a sermon about you? Did I not tell people about you? Did I not do this good work or do all these things? And yet Jesus is going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. That should terrify every single Christian on the face of this earth. Not to the point of like how you got to earn God's grace. But shouldn't you be living your life for Jesus in the way of going, I want to honor and glorify Christ in everything I do. I don't want there to ever be a question that I don't follow Jesus or that I don't follow his word. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that I am following his word every single day. I'm not talking about perfection. Not talking about never sinning, because that's impossible for us to do. But you should be so on fire for God and for Jesus that you don't want to follow after the world. You're willing to offend some people because you're following after Jesus. Brothers and sisters and listeners, it's scary to face the world and to face judgment and to face persecution. But Jesus said that that was going to happen. Because here's the truth that we have to understand is that the world does not hate us. They hate Jesus. It's nothing personal. They hated Jesus. Therefore, they will hate us. But why did they hate Jesus so much? Because he came to preach the truth. He came here to tell people to repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, to deny themselves and to pick up their cross and follow him. To repent or perish. That is the call. To repent of our sin and trust in Jesus. And then we will have eternal life. Not to continue to live in our sin and live the way that we want to live. Because that's not the gospel. But to live a life righteously before God with Jesus, giving us strength every single day. Brothers and sisters, how should we respond to Pride Month? Preach. Preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Tell someone about Jesus. Urge them to repent and to turn away from their sin and trust in you. Pay no attention to it. Don't give in to it. Just tell people the truth. Don't be afraid to offend. Don't be afraid to tell someone the truth. Believe in the gospel and know that Jesus is going to be with you to the very end of the age to give you strength. Believe in the gospel. Believe in the good news of Jesus Christ. This last segment here of Solomon's Porch is going to be where I give a review of a movie. I really love this this segment of the show. It's a great segment. I have a lot of fun with it because I love movies. I really do. But the movie that I want to be reviewing is called The Shift. It's a movie that's done by Angel Studios, the studio that brought us The Chosen, and it's a great film. I gotta tell you, it's action packed, it's suspenseful, it has twists and turns, just a phenomenal film, and it has a great message of perseverance with our tests and our trials that God puts us through, and how to not follow after the schemes of the devil. Just a phenomenal film. It was done very well, very little to no cheesy parts in it. It's really a modern rendition and a retelling of Job. It's just a great message, and really original too. It's not just like a simple like, oh, this is the movie, but then we're also going to connect it to Job, and so we're going to tell the story of Job. No, it's giving a modern telling of Job, and it's just done really well, really entertaining, really great acting, action-packed. It is rated PG-13 because there is somewhat a little bit of swearing, a couple of swear words, but nothing too drastic. The reason why it's PG-13 is because of the violence that's in it. There are moments of blood, there is shooting, there is injuring, there is talk of killing, and there are some dark tones to the movie. Some little bit frightening scenes that are, I would say, are unsuitable for children. So I would suggest to watch this movie with your older children, maybe like upper elementary age to middle school age and above. Unless your younger ones are comfortable with action scenes and stuff like that. But I would recommend that just to watch it with your older children, with your older children and spouses or anything like that. But a great film. I highly recommend it. Nothing really massive out of the ordinary there in terms of theology or anything like that, because it's not really trying to teach you theology. It's just telling you a great story and entertainment and inspiration about persevering through the trials and remaining faithful to God. And so, yeah, just a really great film, really original. I highly recommend it. The Shift, it's available for rental or buy on Amazon Prime. You can go out and get it on Redbox or go out to your local library, see if they have it there. Wherever you can find a movie to rent, go and see The Shift. You won't be disappointed. Well, I want to thank all my listeners today. I hope and pray that you have been challenged by today and this episode. And please just make sure to like and subscribe to the channel. We'll catch you on the next one. As we say here at Solomon's Porch, be safe and make good choices.